Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Jason Mackey's First 10, the quick hit podcast that gets you ready for the day. Well, a lot happening around here. I just got home from PPG Paints Arena, where the Penguins won 4-2 over the Nashville Predators. That did neither sink nor sustain. Well, I guess it sustained their playoff chances. They still need some stuff to happen. We're going to talk about all of that. Got a lot to dissect from the Penguins win. The Pirates lost, the bullpen struggled, O'Neill Cruz is, not hitting much, and that seems to be a topic of concern. We'll get into a little bit there, and some Pitt news. Deon Hayes is entering the transfer portal. Going to talk a little bit about that and the ramifications it involves as well. But first, want to remind you, of course, that we are sponsored, as always, by the North Shore Tavern. If you love baseball, and you don't even have to be a baseball fan, but the interior, it's wall-to-wall Pirates, their appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and, of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. Open every day, the North Shore Tavern across from PNC Park is Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. So the Penguins went into this one knowing they needed to bring their best game. I think Mike Sullivan said verbatim, we need to put our best game on the ice. And well, give them credit. They largely did that. I thought the Penguins did what they needed to do to get a win tonight. Defensive coverages were a lot better. They scored on the power play. Emil Bäckström got a very big goal off of an excellent pass from Erik Karlsson. Erik Karlsson was outstanding. Sidney Crosby as well. Very, very good. We've come to expect that from Crosby during this stretch run. The Penguins took care of business. Unfortunately, everybody else did as well. They needed some teams to lose. They didn't really get that help. The Islanders won. That clinched the third spot in the Metropolitan Division. But the Capitals also won. The Red Wings won in overtime. And, well, we're left to scoreboard watch. I fly to New York later this morning for the Penguins-Islanders season finale. We'll see if that matters. There are two games that we need to care about on Tuesday night. And oddly, the Penguins need to root for the Flyers to win. I kind of find that odd. They're playing the Capitals, and they also need the Montreal Canadiens to beat the Red Wings. For a while on Monday night, it actually looked like the Penguins were going to get that help, but they ultimately did not. But the big talking point, and what I focused my column on coming off the Penguins game, is Alex Nedeljkovic and also Tristan Jarry and Mike Sullivan and the decision that Sullivan made. It took me back a lot to 2017. And I don't even know if this is a story that I've shared with many people, but I was definitely reminiscing a little bit to Andrew Destin in the press box. And, you know, game four of the Eastern Conference Final, that Marc-Andre Fleury had obviously gotten the Penguins that far. And they were practicing at the time at the University of Ottawa in this weird upstairs rink and you know, just a very odd place. I'll always remember it. And, you know, I don't think they announced the morning skate, but there was a morning skate. We just kind of went out of habit. We were watching Matt Murray, how soon he left the ice. And then Marc-Andre Fleury was there and sharing a net. I don't know if it was with Jarry, might've been with Jarry, but, you know, kind of had an inkling that Matt Murray would get the start. And then later that day, we all piled in a car and drove to the downtown hotel where they did media availability. And, you know, we're crowding around Mike Sullivan. And I wrote a little bit about this scene, but, you know, kind of all waiting. Is it going to be Matt Murray? Is it going to be Marc-Andre Fleury? And, you know, just such a huge, huge decision that obviously paid dividends for the Penguins and Murray, Fleury, and, you know, Marc-Andre handing the cup to Matt Murray and all these cool storylines. Well, here we were again, I think, in the same boat. Alex Nedeljkovic had stolen the net from Tristan Jarry, had been absolutely fantastic, but Saturday against the Bruins, he was not good at all. Got yanked, and they bring in Jarry, and the Penguins didn't play well in front of either one on Saturday, but they really didn't play that well in front of Jarry. That being said, I was kind of curious what Mike Sullivan was going to do, a must-win game against the Predators. I'll be honest, and I think I said it on here, I expected him to go back to Tristan Jarry. I thought that was going to be, you know, if nothing else, this is the guy they theoretically view as the future. He's got the contract to prove it. It's the easier decision, I guess, at least from my vantage point. Maybe for Sullivan, it was an easier one to stick with Ned. But in any case, he goes with Nedeljkovic. And Ned had a really good game against the Predators, stopped 28 of 30. I thought Sullivan's answer when he was asked about Nedeljkovic was really telling, talking about all the things he does to manage a game and the way he handles a puck, might get a whistle when the Penguins need it, just kind of calming things down. All of it's true. But I've never heard him talk about Jarry like that. And now I think the big question for the Penguins, I mean, obviously the biggest one right now immediately is, do they get into the playoffs and what happens to their season? But you go into the offseason, you think about, they clearly like Ned. There's probably nothing against Jari. Maybe you run it back with these two, but how is that relationship between Sullivan and Jari? Does Jari want to be here? What does Jari think about it all? He was not in the dressing room afterwards. He hasn't spoken for some time, but you know, I can't help but wonder what this means for the future of their goaltending plans. And you know, they're going to be trying to free up cap space any way you can. And if Joel Blomqvist is ready in the minors and you think Ned can hold it down with the big club, maybe you try to move Jari. I don't know. I don't even know if that's good business, really. You would be selling an asset at its lowest point. I'm not sure who would want to take on that contract, but you know, he does have a track record of success. I believe he's still tied for the NHL lead in shutouts, and you could seemingly move on from him, especially if the Penguins don't have any use for him. I just thought that was a sizable decision. And if you go with Jari, I mean, you're clearly saying like, this is our guy. Thanks, Ned. We appreciate it. But like, Jari's the guy. And they went the opposite route. So again, we will get to all the more immediate stuff in New York. And that's that much more pressing. But I think this offseason, it's an interesting question. Okay, so the Pirates lost. We'll change gears to our second topic here. And it's hard to get too worked up over something. I mean, you could look at this and say, you know, maybe Martin Perez deserved better, should have pitched better later in the outing. The Pirates bullpen needs to do more. You know, that was expected to be a strength, and you know, it kind of hasn't been. That hasn't been a weakness, but you'd like to keep that, you know, keep that lead. Whatever, it didn't happen. It's a long season. That stuff occurs. One of the bigger talking points, I think, coming out of this one, though, is O'Neill Cruz and what to do with him. He certainly struggled. He struck out, I believe, 7 times in his last 9 plate appearances. They have not been particularly close. I go back to spring training and some of the stuff we saw out of O'Neill and the swing decisions he was making, how he was handling breaking stuff. It's just not that way. He looks tentative at the plate. Looks like he's thinking a little bit too much. And I do worry a little bit about him being atop the order. And he likes it there. It makes sense. You probably have to make a decision in or out. Are we going to stick with this guy here? It's certainly a non-traditional approach. You know, I think about like a Kyle Schwarber hits there, and the Phillies just they live with the amount of strikeouts that he amasses. Do you want to do that for O'Neill? I don't know. I mean, I've said a lot that I like O'Neill Cruz at that spot, and I wouldn't pivot. The at-bats have been pretty bad. And maybe you drop him, you try to get some more confidence. I do know one thing with O'Neill. I would like to see him thinking less. You know, the Pirates have employed an on-base heavy strategy that requires a lot of plate discipline, and you see guys kind of caught in between. I think Jack Sawinski would be a perfect example of that. I don't know if that's O'Neill's game. You know, I kind of want him to do his thing, and I that's what I would have him do at the top of the lineup, but it's not going great right now. So I don't know if you try to adjust, but you want to get more out of O'Neill Cruz. I think that's one missing element. Obviously, we saw last year how costly that can be, and this year they're kind of seeing a little bit of that. Certainly not getting the production maybe they hoped or thought they would get from O'Neill. We'll see how that transpires the rest of the Mets series. A chance for the Pirates to finish off a really good trip. I mean, if you can take 2 of 3 from New York, split it in Philly, take that every day of the week. Last topic, Deon Hayes entering the transfer portal, leaving Pitt. This caught me by surprise. This caught everybody by surprise. I don't think, you know, I was over on the South Side last week, and at least 2 guys, maybe 3, talked about things that Deon Hayes had said to them. They referenced things that Deon Hayes had said to the media, very much entrenching himself as a leader, was a captain for the Blue Gold game. A lot of very heavy things expected out of him. Westinghouse product and, you know, all this stuff. And then all of a sudden he's out, tells our Chris Carter that he doesn't think Pitt is going to be any good this year. I think there's a couple different ways you can go with that. I read that quote and thought immediately, you know, that he was kind of selling his teammates out or, you know, whatever, like, shame on you. You don't want to be part of the building this. And I think there's part of that that I get. And if people are upset, fine. It's also his right. He's allowed to do what he wants, but I think it is a big giant mess. It's a big giant mess for the remaining people at Pitt, a big giant mess for Pat Narduzzi. Pitt really needs to turn it around following 3-9. I'm not stating any breaking news there. And then you lose one of your best defensive players. The defensive line was already hit very hard by graduation, but this was seemingly a guy who's a rock in the middle of that. And now it's gone. So I don't know, man. You want a team in that situation to have people who are buying into the way they're building things. And, you know, he's saying a bunch of the opposite. And I worry about, you know, what that does to those left behind, not necessarily a great leadership thing. I don't feel great about criticizing the leadership in anybody that age, but you know, it just does bring about a whole awkward conversation that probably no one wants to have right now. And it's yet another hurdle for a program that's really trying to get past a rotten season. So, you know, wish Pitt the best, replacing him. Obviously there's going to be some leaders who have to step up in his place. The defensive line is going to be counted upon a lot. Caught me by surprise. I can't imagine anybody watching this was not caught by surprise as well. So like I said, later this morning, I'm going to be flying to New York. I will be joining our Noah Hiles for some Pirates Mets coverage. And then maybe morning skate, maybe the ball game, definitely Penguins Islanders at night. A lot to unearth there. Thank you for watching. As always, make sure you like and subscribe. You can get all of this content and content from our other reporters always on the North Shore Drive. And yeah, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.